We are back with another analyst interview. Joining me today, Drew Dinkmeyer from Establish the Run. Should be a fun one. Someone I haven't spoken to, so I'm going to learn a lot as well. Let's get balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do it, say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you can find me. I'm your host. As always, another analyst interview today and very appreciative of his time. Drew Dinkmeyer from Establish the Run. Drew, how are you, mate?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. Looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, no, it'd be good. We got there. You're sort of you're on holidays at the moment, so you're sort of stepping away from work for a while and enjoying the break. So I'm glad I was able to squeeze you in. And I mean, we'll start holidays. You said to me off air you've been on your honeymoon, so congratulations on the
thank you
on the nuptials. And so where did you head? I mean, we don't normally start with holidaying, but yeah, relevant. So let's start with that. Whereabouts were you?
It was great. We did about 3 weeks in total. We started it with like a family trip at a lake house in outside of Boston, Massachusetts, where my wife mm-hmm. and her family are from, and like spent a lot of time with family there. And then went from there to London for 2 days so I could sneak into Wimbledon because I grew up playing tennis. So
right,
getting okay. on the grounds of Wimbledon was like a really like bucket list item for me.
Yeah.
And we're able to queue, we're able to get in, see some tennis, get on the grounds, which is great. And then we went over to Italy. We have friends who have a place in Capri that we spent about a week. And then we spent 3 or 4 days in Florence and then mm-hmm. like another 2 days in Milan where we caught a Taylor Swift concert to kind of end the trip, which was fun.
Okay. All right. So a busy time. And so, Boston place that I went to, last year and loved Boston. Really cool city. It was very cold when we were there, but we still got out. We did a lot of stuff. London I've been to, but it was actually for my honeymoon that I went to London. So that was nice. 20 years ago. And so I've done that. I didn't get to Wimbledon though. So you'd never been, I assume?
No, I'd never been to Wimbledon. Had always like dreamed of it as a kid growing up and playing tennis and never had the opportunity to go. I've been to the U.S. Open a ton of times growing mm-hmm. up in the States here, but never had the opportunity. And just kind of this year felt like a good year to try it. We had sort of this in-between time where we were doing this vacation with the family in Boston, and then we were doing a vacation where that we're starting to meet some friends who had some time for us. And right in between, there were a couple of days that were like, oh, if we could just kind of do a layover in London and see if we could get into Wimbledon. So it worked out perfectly. I'm so glad we were able to get it done.
And was it what you'd hoped? Like, I can imagine what it was.
Yeah, it was very different and very unique. So I grew up playing tennis like very competitively, and mm-hmm. like my age range was like, for people who know tennis, like Andy Roddick and Marty Fish and those guys in Florida where I grew up, I played against those guys growing up. I wasn't as good as those guys. I played collegiately, but not professionally. And so at the US Open, I'd go every year and it was very comfortable. And I'd grown up playing on those courts, some in some like tournaments and collegiate tournaments and different things like that. So like going to the US Open felt very like familiar, and going to Wimbledon felt like a big experience for me. It was like a very, you know, different experience, kind of like, you know, the mecca of tennis for me growing up. And I grew up, I was a serving volleyer. So I love watching grass court tennis. So it was wonderful. I didn't get into center court because we didn't get into lotto system or anything like that. So just ended up on the grounds, but beautiful grounds. Everything mm-hmm. is like super organized there. You have to wait in line for a long time to get in, but once you're in, it's really easy to get around. And we had like front row seats on one of the side courts, watched a great match, and it was wonderful.
And so growing up, I mean, I could do a whole thing on tennis now, but growing up and as you said, playing in that same sort of era as Andy Roddick. Did you see the break? I think it was Breakpoint, the series, and Roddick was actually one of the, like they talked about him a bit. So did that sort of resonate with you, I suppose, watching that?
So I watched the first episode of Breakpoint. I really liked the F1 series. I liked the Full Swing series. The Breakpoint series, like, for me, it was like, all this stuff is so basic, and like I know all the struggles of like a tennis player, so I kind of cut it after the first episode. But I watched the documentary with Marty Fish that he did, where he talked a lot about his relationship with Andy and them like living together.
Maybe it was that I'm referring
and,
to that he was in. Yeah,
and that was definitely a lot of like memories growing up. And Andy was, it was very clear he was going to be a professional tennis player. He was, you know, he was number one in the state of Florida, like a division ahead of where he should have been playing. So he was playing like 2 years ahead of where he should have been playing, and he was still number one in the state and the best player in the state. I'm lucky enough to have, I played him once that my dad filmed and recorded. So I have video of me playing against Andy when I was like 2 years older than him. And so I played a good first set. I lost 7-5, 6-2, but it's cool. I mean, his mechanisms, his serve, it's all the same motion. It's just he got bigger and filled out, and then a monster.
That's cool. All right, so and I guess we'll stick with that sort of theme there, the holidaying, that sort of thing. Was that your first time heading to Europe, or you're a bit of a world traveler? You've been around, and any favorite spots over the years?
Yeah, I've been to, so I'm kind of in between. I started late. I didn't travel internationally out of the States until I was out of college. And then I started to get more comfortable kind of traveling abroad. I go to Europe at this point pretty regularly, like every summer. I spend some time in Europe. Close friends who have a place in Italy that is just like very easy, and you know, I can stay rent free. So it's nice not having to pay hotel prices in kind of resort towns. But I love Italy. I think the people are just wonderful there. The food really resonates with me. I love pasta, so it's fantastic there. And then like the Amalfi Coast is just so beautiful, like so breathtakingly beautiful. The water is so blue. And so we spend at least a week to 2 weeks every summer in Capri with some friends who have a place there. And it's just incredible.
Yeah, I was actually talking with a colleague at work yesterday. Had a coffee, we're just catching up, and she's about to take her family over to Italy for the first time. And so she was sort of asking me, like, what are places that you've been and things you've done there. And we went down to Sorrento for our honeymoon. We didn't go last year when we went with the kids, but we went to Naples so that we could go to Pompeii. Yep. So have you been out to Pompeii?
I've not been to Pompeii, but travel through Naples like all the time when I'm going to Capri, because you just take the ferry over from Naples, basically fly into Naples and take the ferry over, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And I do remember the Sorrento coast, that Amalfi area, it was awesome. Like it's such a, I don't know, I remember, it was 20 years ago, so it was a long time ago. I remember enjoying it, but I remember it feeling like you were in a movie kind of thing. Like you're sort of stepping back in time a little bit.
It feels like a beautiful old movie, and like you get around a lot by boat, which is like a cool experience. And everybody's so lovely and accommodating and wonderful. And, you know, I'll try to work on my Italian each time I'm there, and, you know, the people will help me, like they'll actually like work with you to work through words and stuff. So it's great. It's like, it's just very, it feels very warm. Everything feels very warm and comfortable there. And then, you know, when I go to like Capri, it's, you know, a lot of Italy is built on cliffs, right? So like so you get a lot of walking in, you get a lot of stairs in. So like just, I eat whatever I want there, and I come back and like no effect on weight whatsoever. Like I'm still in the same shape, which is like wonderful compared to the US, where like, you know, you go on a binge week eating in the US and you're going to feel it most of the times. Cause I live in New York, I walk around a bunch, but most areas that you visit aren't quite as walkable.
No. And it's very flat, I would assume, New York, like just being a bit, as you said, in over in Italy, they've sort of modified the way you get around into the landscape rather than modifying the landscape. So, so I guess we're almost doing this reverse around, but onto food, because you mentioned that you like pasta, and favorite food for you? Is there a particular favorite, or you just like food in general?
I love, unfortunately, like the things I love for me are all terrible for me, but I love cheese. I love like crackers and snacks. I'm a big, like, if I could like eat anything that I wanted, I just like graze all day. I just eat snacks all day long. Not the best way to try to treat your body, so I don't do that, but love a good bowl of pasta. I mean, when I'm in Italy, like, I'm pretty much having vongole, like, you know, linguine and clams, like, pretty much all the time. And then caprese salads in Italy. Like, that's all I can think about is the food in Italy whenever I'm there. Yeah. The pasta is, and that's probably my biggest draw. And I live in a wonderful food city in New York. We have like everything pretty much at our disposal, except we don't have great barbecue, but like everything else we have really, really good. So, I love Italian food. That's probably the closest thing to my heart.
Pizza included?
I love pizza. I like New York pizza better than Naples pizza, the original. Okay. I love a good thin crust, but like a crunchy. Like, I love crunch. I really like. Yeah. I'm a texture eater, and I love crunch. Okay. Which is one of the reasons I love snacks.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting that you like pasta though, because there's no crunch.
It's a very different
texture.
It is a very different texture.
Yeah.
But it's cheese and carbs, and cheese and carbs in all forms works for me.
So shifting on to work wise, as I mentioned at the top, you are with Establish the Run, and that's your job. That's what you do. You're one of the people I have on this show that's lucky enough to be able to do this full time. And so I guess, how did that journey start for you? Was it an interest from a young age, or something you got into later in life?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I started my first fantasy sports league when I was in fifth grade. So I was 10 years old. This was before fantasy sports was on the internet, largely. I was doing hand calculations of box scores for baseball players with like a 5-man league in my fifth grade, and the standings were kept in my room on like a dry erase board, essentially. I always loved math, and I loved the idea of trying to figure out how to make the best team with math. And so that kind of continued to evolve over the years. I was always kind of playing fantasy sports, whether it was baseball, basketball, football. I was always playing and competing in them. I love doing it, whether it's like March Madness brackets, whatever it is, like predicting the future was very, very interesting to me. And when I got out of college, I was working in finance, and I was still trying to figure out like, how could I make it in fantasy sports? That's really where I wanted to spend most of my time. I remember like reading, reading books about, you know, Matthew Berry and Nando DeFino and like all these other like fantasy sports legends, and like thinking like, oh, how could I get a job like that? And then Daily Fantasy Sports came around. And when Daily Fantasy Sports came around, that opened up a way for me to be able to play games at a meaningful level that I could then turn that into an income stream. And that's eventually what I did. So eventually I got good enough at the Daily Fantasy Sports games that I was playing those at a professional level. I left my job in finance, and then I started a company to do projections and analysis and content around all the Daily Fantasy Sports. So we were doing content on baseball, basketball, football, golf, pretty much everything. And I was working year round. And it was a bit too much. Ultimately, Established Run came to me with the idea of like, hey, do you want to just focus on basketball and come kind of run our basketball product and start it? And that was really appealing to me. And so now my focus is entirely on basketball. I do like one piece of football content a week during football season, but I get the off season. So now I get, instead of having to do baseball content and golf content, I get to, you know, have the time to reset. And so it's been great for me focusing just in on basketball. And it's a sport that I grew up a Chicago Bulls fan. My dad's from Chicago originally, and he played college basketball. So I had the good memories of growing up with a lot of favorable outcomes as a Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls fan. And so basketball was a love for me. And I feel really lucky that I get to try to, you know, solve the pieces of the puzzle each day that the daily fantasy worlds bring us.
Yeah. And so I guess for those sort of listening, I mean, I'm assuming most people know what DFS is. Like, a lot of, I think, you could argue more people actually know what DFS is than redraft fantasy or dynasty fantasy, that sort of thing. So DFS is obviously a lot of what you do, and I know you have a bit of a team around you. I know Mike Gallagher is there, and he moved from this space, from the fantasy space, into the DFS space a few years ago now. Shortly after I got in, so I'd say he's been over there with you for 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, we started the product. I think this will be our fifth year upcoming. We started the product the bubble season, so I guess 2020, and that was the start of the Established Run product. And Mike Gallagher and myself came over to start the product on Established Run.
Yeah, and so focus on DFS, but do you still play in fantasy leagues? Do you have any sort of home leagues or leagues that you've been in for a long time that are still running?
Unfortunately, we weren't able to keep the momentum on the basketball side of things. It's like really hard to find people who want to I think the nature of fantasy football, where it's like you can check in on your team like once a week, I think is comfortable for people in the States, but like the commitment for fantasy basketball is just a little bit more challenging. So we're unable to keep like a 12-man league going. It ended up like dipping down to like 8, and then it was like, let's kind of move on. This isn't super fun. Like, everybody's got an all-star team. So I have, I'll co-manage a team that my dad has that he's in a league with, like, some friends that he's had over the years. And then, the industry pickup league last year was like the first time that I had done, an actual season long league that I was invested in, other than like I had done some of the high stakes NFBKC and different stuff like that in the past. The challenge for me with the season long requirement is that during the NBA season, my work becomes so narrowly focused within the day to day events that sometimes I'll like miss a lineup deadline. And for a high stakes investment where it's like weekly lineup settings, that just didn't make sense to do. But for like the industry pickup league, it worked out really great for me, where like I could pretty much just check in. It was daily, settings and managing your games and stuff like that. So it worked out great this year doing that.
Yeah. I think for me, it's getting in a routine, which is like you get in a routine of checking. And for us here, obviously the timing is a bit different, because often we have to set our lineups 8-10 hours in advance because the games start at 4 a.m. here. So sometimes I feel like that's a little bit of a disadvantage, because you set your lineup and then you wake up and they said, this guy was a late scratch. I was asleep. But but if you can get in a routine of setting that lineup at the same time every day, but as you said, the DFS would keep you pretty locked in on just in terms of what's going on, because obviously with DFS, you need to know about who's out, who's in, lineup changes, all that sort of stuff. So very little research required on your part when you're in a daily changes league, because that's just your job.
Right.
We can't talk about what else you do in terms of work, because as I said, you're one of the lucky ones who gets to do this full time. But when you're not working, when you're not traveling, what is it that you like to do? I know you mentioned off air, and we'll start with music. You're not really into music. You're not a music person.
I'm not. For whatever reason, music doesn't like hit me the same way. I think there's a certain percentage of the population that just like music doesn't like resonate in the same way that it does for everybody else. So it doesn't like usually hit me like in an emotional connection way. So I find listening to podcasts, and especially interviews, like I'm fascinated by other human beings, just in like what makes them tick, like the similarities amongst humans, like how similar like many people's struggles or battles internally are that like aren't talked about. And this has been something that's, come of age a lot in the last 5 to 10 years, is like more interviews talking about mental health and like anxiety and different things like that. I find interviews with comedians especially like fascinating, because I think a comedian's mind is so, so interesting, the way that they see the world. So I love watching stand-up comedy. I love games. So I like board games. I like puzzles. I like escape rooms. Anything where like I can compete against myself, I find very, very entertaining. And then I grew up playing tennis. I still play tennis some. I play ping pong like once a week with some friends. I like being out and active and competing at stuff, but I like will hate, like if you ask me to like go to the gym and work out for an hour, I like hate that idea. If you ask me to go like play tennis or play basketball or play golf or like compete at something for an hour, I'll be out there for like three or four. Like I just like competing generally. And so, yeah, those are some of the ways I like to spend my free time.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit sort of the same. Like I like to stay active, but I find it really hard to just go to the gym. Like I have a lot of friends that go to the gym regularly and to stay healthy. For me, it's playing basketball. But I am getting to that age now, I'm 45, where I played in a game on the weekend and it was an all-star game. So sort of picked a play. So I was playing with some guys I don't normally play with, just guys from other teams. And we sort of started the game. And they said, you're going to start? And I said, no, I'm happy to come off the bench. And then I was just chatting to one of the guys on the bench and the first quarter was almost done. And they sort of, are you coming on? And I went, oh, yeah, I guess I'll come on. And so for me, I think maybe I've lost a little bit of the, I don't know, not the drive, but the passion to play maybe. And so I need to find something else to do because I know I'm not going to go to the gym. It's just not going to happen. So much like you, I need to find an activity that I can do with other people. It's probably going to be golf, I think. So tennis, my daughter plays tennis, so I know the plan is that we will start playing a little bit together. But something that's sort of taken off here recently, I'd say, is pickleball, which I know is – I've spoken to a couple of people who play pickleball. I have no idea what it is. It just looks like a really small version of tennis. is that what it is? Like, what's the difference between pickleball and tennis?
There's some unique rules that are a little bit different. So instead of like a service box, there's something called a kitchen that is like a shorter area that you can't step into unless you're hitting a ball that has bounced in that area. So there's some like weird rules around it. But it's fairly similar. I do think it's like a good recreational sport to like, especially for like as we get older. I'm similar age to you, so I'm 42 going on 43. And I think as you get older, like it's a good sport because it doesn't require as much movement and it is social and like a lot of people can pick it up really quickly. As a tennis player, it hurts me when I see young kids playing pickleball because it's like, this is the sport when you're older that you should be playing. Now, maybe if it gets them in terms of comfort with racket sports, that's great. But like, there's not a ton of movement in doubles, in singles, there's a little bit more. The other racket sport that I got introduced to last year, that's been around a lot longer than pickleball is padel. And there's a bunch of versions of these. There's like paddleball and there's like padel, which is the South American game that has like walls built around the court. And it's like a mini tennis court that's even bigger than a pickleball court. But then there's walls that you can play off of, kind of like squash. And that sport is like super fun and super interesting and cool to me because like there's a lot more space to cover. And then there's a lot more angles to cover because of the walls. So it's like it was a much more mentally stimulating game for me than pickleball personally.
Almost like a puzzle kind of thing. Like, in a way, I've never seen it or played it, but I can imagine that, the first thing that came into my mind was angles. It would be the angles that the ball would be coming at you from would be completely different. Look, we have a pickleball court. They've just built some new ones, but I could walk to them from my house. And we often drive past and see people playing doubles, and they're not moving much.
No.
Like they're just sort of standing there. It almost looks like they're crammed into a space that's too small for them. Just jumping back very quickly, you mentioned that you like listening to podcasts and you like hearing about people and interviews, that sort of thing. Did you manage to listen into the DeMar DeRozan podcast, The Dinner with DeMar?
I actually haven't. It's on my list of podcasts to kind of get through, but no, I haven't. How was it?
I thought they were good. I thought they were quite interesting. And as you said, we are sort of in that era, but that time now, people are more comfortable talking about challenges, mental health challenges specifically. And I think the more you're involved in sports, even if it's just in a role like what I am, you have a better understanding for the challenges that players face and athletes face. And we're seeing that with more and more documentaries as well, like the First Serve and the Full Swing. And there's one, which I haven't watched yet, about sprinting, about Olympic sprinters. And So I think we're more aware of it, but to you, I guess just your Joe on the street, you go and ask them and they would be like, well, why are these people depressed? Why do they have mental health when they're earning millions of dollars? So for me, I think it really shines a light on the mental health struggles, despite the fact that you basically have endless amounts of money, and really proves that old sort of saying that money doesn't necessarily buy happiness. I mean, a lot of these players, they're happy, don't get me wrong, but with that comes its own unique challenges. So I like that aspect of it. And Kevin Love has obviously been a big sort of piece of that push to get it out there and make people more comfortable to talk about it. So I like that as well. I think that's a really good thing. And I work in that space professionally. So dealing with a lot of kids that have mental health challenges and things like that. So so I like to see that. And then finally, movies, TV shows. Is that not really into music? Are you into TV shows and movies?
Sometimes I would say I watch so much basketball that like during the season, like I just pretty much my diet is basketball in terms of consuming content. Then in the off season, I'll catch up on shows that people have like talked about. A lot of times when I watch shows, it can be a little bit out of like FOMO, like everybody's talking about something and I see everybody posting on social media about it. I'm like, oh, I got to watch this show. And so like I did that with like Game of Thrones, and I've done that with like House of Dragons, which I thought were like fine. I wasn't like over the top. Like favorite shows for me, like I love Ted Lasso. I love like the heartwarming. I love positive content just generally. Like I think the world is filled with such negativity and so many challenges and so many threats and fears to like your own kind of mental health that I think lighter, fun. Like I love Seinfeld. I love that as a comedic show kind of growing up. I think Breaking Bad is like the most like fantastically interesting, addictive show that I've ever watched. And I liked Lost a lot, although the ending was very controversial. But those shows like really like gripped me. And then in terms of movies, like Good Will Hunting is my favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. And then I love Inside Out, which is another movie that's like talking about and educating people how to deal with their emotions. And then I love Rounders from like a gambling perspective. Yeah. I think those are like the three movies that are like my go-to like favorite movies in terms of like what resonate with me in terms of like movies that I think like, I think Inception is like a brilliant movie, an incredible movie, and a wonderful movie. But like, if I see Inception on, I'm not necessarily stopping. If I see Good Will Hunting on, I'm stopping like every time. And that movie like catches my attention immediately.
Yeah, Seinfeld's something that's on repeat here.
Yeah.
Pretty regularly, my son's sort of gotten into it. I think just because I have it on so much, he just puts it on now himself. And it's interesting watching it because obviously it's basically 30 years old.
Yeah.
And a lot of the content and jokes, they wouldn't fly today. Like, and
not at all.
I know the well, my understanding is that a couple of episodes, one in particular, that I think it's the Puerto Rican Day Parade episode, which is sort of third from the end or fourth or third from the end, is not, it can't be played in America or it's
oh, not. I don't know. Actually, it's interesting. I haven't seen that episode in a long time, so that would make sense if that's what did it. But yeah, that's the one where like they like Kramer won't wear the pin or something, I think, if I'm remembering
correctly. It's the one where it's the only one that's filmed that's not filmed in the apartment. So because the Chinese restaurant as well. But
yeah,
so they're just in their car and it's Puerto Rican Day Parade and Kramer accidentally burns the Puerto Rican flag.
Oh yeah,
because
it's
in the back of the car and he lights his cigar and throws the spark.
So for that one,
I think I've heard, and I think when I was in the States, I checked because it was I checked on the streaming and it wasn't there that episode. But Seinfeld, Breaking Bad, it's one of my favorite shows of all time, and not surprising to hear that you like Good Will Hunting.
Yeah,
having sort of a better understanding of how your brain works with numbers and maths and that sort of thing.
And also, I love Matt Damon. I mean, so Rounders, Good Will Hunting. Yep. Like, I think Matt Damon's just a phenomenal actor. Love his work. And then my dad was like a huge fan of Robin Williams from a comedic standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I just think Robin Williams' performance in a serious role is just so incredible in Good Will Hunting. So yeah, that's a favorite for me for sure.
Yeah, he was a big loss, Robin Williams, because he was people obviously remember the comedy roles and that sort of thing, but he did some serious roles like Good Will Hunting, and then there's that the one where he plays a psycho
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams is where he plays the doctor, but there's the one where he's
he's like a I know the film you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look it up now.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
You could probably beat me. I'll know the title as soon as I see it. Hang on. Where are his movies?
Is it What Dreams May Come? No.
No, that was an interesting one as well, though. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that one. Oh, where is it? Unless I'm sure I'm thinking of
The Fisher King.
No, it's not that one either. I can't even see it now. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Oh, no, 1 Hour Photo.
Oh, I actually don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, that one, I feel like he plays a mentally unstable photo developer targets an upper middle class family after his obsession with them becomes more sick. So, yeah, he plays sort of a crazy sort of, as I said, mentally sort of challenged guy. Yeah, so that was a very serious role as well, very different from those roles that we sort of associate him with, those comedic roles. So, it was sad when he passed away. And obviously he had his own things going on because of his dementia and that sort of thing. So, no, look, anyway, I've kept you long enough, so I'm going to let you head out. But before I do, not much content at the moment. As we know, you're off holidaying and enjoying that free time. But I guess where can people find you? And if they want to step into that DFS space a bit more and find your content, what's on the horizon for, or what does a season look like or building into the season for you?
Yeah, so we just started working on our season-long projections and are tuning those up and going through with our projections team to kind of get ready, because DFS is continuing to evolve into the best ball space now, and Underdog released a contest very early there. So trying to get rankings and projections up there. We'll probably have most likely a separate package for our best ball rankings. And then we'll have our season long redraft draft kit that's led by Mike Gallagher's content with all of his deep sleepers, his top 150 list, kind of all the analysis that goes into our projections and our rankings along with our season-long projections. And then once we get into the season, our focus is solely on daily fantasy sports and on props. So we have two different packages that we offer at Established Run. One is the DFS package that gets you live shows, all the projections for every player, every game for the DFS sites of your need, and then content that illuminates which plays are the ones that we'd recommend, content around strategy and how to approach the games. And then on the prop side, we have a props betting service that continues to evolve as the books get more and more sophisticated in terms of monitoring our chat and our Discord and whatnot. But we release plays. We also release our projections that people can bet off of. And those are the two different products we run at establishtherun.com. If you're interested in the props package ahead of next season, I strongly encourage people to read the FAQ, because a lot of times the bets will go almost instantly. Like, we release a bet and it's off the books within 30 seconds. So you have to be very, very quick or have to find other outs to be able to take advantage of it. But we really encourage people to do that. They're only weekly subscriptions because we don't want to tie people's money up. A lot of people, if they find out that it works for them very quickly or it doesn't work for them very quickly. But you can find out all of our NBA stuff at establishedrun.com, and you can find me on Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it these days, at Drew Dinkmeyer.
I think we still call it Twitter, don't we? I know it's X.
I mean, they're tweets. You're making tweets. I don't understand why. Yeah, like you're not sending X's. So I think it should be Twitter, but I know that ruffles their feathers, you know. It does.
Over there. Yeah, that's fine. They've got enough money. They don't. Who cares what they think? All right. So look, thanks again for finding some time to jump on the show. Really appreciate it. May have you on the show during the season at some point. We'll see how we go. We've got industry pick up again this season, which will be good. It was a rough season for me last year. I had Wemby and I didn't make the most of it. I was close, but some injuries. Anyway, long story. We won't go into that. So, no, thanks for jumping on. Enjoy the rest of your break, although, I mean, it sounds like it's probably coming to an end soonish as you start to ramp up content. Anyone listening, anyone watching, give us a thumbs up, like, and subscribe. Helps us build our brand. Head over to our Discord server. By the time this one comes out, we'll actually probably be into real drafts and things like that. Our draft-only leagues are running at the moment, but we'll have real leagues starting by then. So plenty of action, plenty of opportunities for people to join and win some money. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.